And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
So last night I received a message. I'm not one to regularly watch media watch.
I used to. It used to be a wind down situation for me.
Yeah.
You'd watch Four Corners, Q&A, media watch would get you excited for a bit of that action.
Do a bit of media watch and just see what we missed.
But then I got too angry and I was told I'm not allowed to watch that stuff anymore.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
So I just... Anyway, I received a message suggesting that maybe I would want to look at Media Watch last night. And so went and did so. And they did a story on the... So for anybody who doesn't know what Media Watch is, it's just they do stories on what the media does.
Media stuff-ups, you could say.
Yeah.
And questionable reporting.
Yeah, and can hold the media to account, which is an important thing.
It is.
And it was about the coverage of the machete...
Amnesty bins,
that's right. And how the perception was that they cost about $325,000 a pop. Was certainly our understanding about it, wasn't it, Cameron Ling?
It was, yeah, because it had gone sort of everywhere. There were multiple, certainly social media, but outlets that were reporting that's per bin. I think the fact that there was an MP had endorsed sort of that that was the cost per bin. I certainly took that as what it was. So I obviously had a few things to say.
That's a classic Cameron Ling handball off the field right there.
No.
But you see those often.
I acknowledge under the tackle. that I said the wrong thing in saying that
Hang on.
Certainly don't
leave it up to Media Watch.
Was the $300,000 bin is just too savoury a scandal to die.
Bins that are costing $325,000 each that aren't going to get used, by the way.
Call me old-fashioned, but I do wonder what happened to checking such things before you go on air.
Me too.
Fair.
As someone who's never checked anything before I go to air.
Oh, we know. It's very clear. It wasn't just you. There were a whole lot of other people as well.
But you know how that figure was arrived at?
Yeah.
It was the $13 million that was budgeted towards the
amnesty,
campaign, the amnesty.
Publicity and, for marketing.
Divided by the number of bins, it came to that. Acknowledged that was incorrect, and I said the wrong thing, and should have checked.
So did I, because I fired you up, and we were talking about it.
You're the one. And to be fair, on the banner, like on the graphic, a beautiful photo of you looking very sharp,
and finally representing K Rock as well.
It had the K Rock logo,
that
and it
was
said
cool.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. So we all got to be part of it.
All publicity is good publicity.
Still, $13 million is on the campaign.
Yeah. It does include educational campaigns, the public awareness drive, and the number of bins in store.
The public awareness drive to let them know about these bins.
Yeah.
Okay. And the disposal of the collected machetes,
which would be a total of zero.
Yeah.
I'd love to see their stats because obviously it's the Labor government that's come out and fought back against these figures, and quite rightly so because they were incorrectly reported. I acknowledge that. But I'd love for them to then follow up with more stats saying these are the number of machetes that we have collected through this amnesty and we have cleared the streets of them because we've collected this. They won't do that because they'll be embarrassed by the numbers because there just won't be any or enough handed in to have a real impact on what is a massive problem in our community
it's
right now.
It's just shocking at the moment.
I think we can all acknowledge that,
The bins cost $2,400 each for those wondering.
Okay. Yep, still $13 million they're spending on the overall campaign.
Quite that.
All right, I think they'll scoop that up and that'll be on Media Watch next week.
Cool.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Ma, what's your name? Ma, I'll guess. Ma, what's Dad's name? Trevor or Jeff? It's my guess. It's my guess. Parent trap. I'm sorry.
So brave. What we need is someone with a parent who has a name, and I believe we do have someone who has called through. We've got Danny from Belmont on the line. Morning, Danny.
Good morning.
Morning, Danny. Now, are we guessing mum or dad's name?
Go for mum.
Mum's name.
Okay, the way it's going to work, Danny, and for anyone who's new to this, we each get to ask a question to maybe just narrow in on what the name might be, and then we all get one guess. We are currently zero from 4,264.
Came close last week, though, so, you know, progress.
You want to lead us off, Log?
All right. So, Danny, will mum go more for an entree or a dessert?
Oh, good call. Good question.
Ooh, entree, I'm going to say.
Ooh, entree, savoury gal. Okay.
Okay, Tommy?
Yeah.
Danny, what did your mum drive when you were growing up? What kind of car?
Oh, I don't even know. It was like the proper mum car wagon type thing that was falling apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wagon.
Got it.
Okay, that narrows it down a bit.
This one will definitely narrow it down, Danny. Would you describe mum as more a Wills and Kate kind of person or a Harry and Megs?
Oh, Will and Kate.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, correct answer.
She sounds like a cool chick because we've got entree ordering.
Yeah.
She drove a wagon back in the day.
Beat up family wagon.
Will and Kate fan. Okay. Okay, Danny, your mum's name is Rebecca, or Beck for short.
Ooh, no.
Oh,
no. When you say ooh, is that because it's close?
No,
or?
No, shush, man. You're always trying to cheat.
All right, Danny, tell us, is your mum's name Alicia?
No, closer though.
Ooh, closer.
No, see, we're not allowed to.
We are.
No.
Yeah,
what's closer?
Win's not a win. Unless it's
I had a name written down. It's nothing like Alicia. So.
Well, close is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Could be syllables.
Could be Felicia.
Yeah.
Could be another Patricia.
I'm going to go with the fact that she's such a Wills and Kate sort of person that her name is Catherine.
You suck.
Bow, bow.
Yes. What's your mum's name, Danny?
Angela.
That was pretty close.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
The Aaron Patterson sentence was handed down yesterday, and to tell us all about and give us a bit of insight, we have on the line with us now Justin Quill, who's from major law firm Thompson Gear. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, guys.
What a big day, big 24 hours it's been. And what is the general consensus about the verdict, or I should say the sentence that was handed down?
Yeah, well, look, the only thing that anyone was really looking for yesterday was, will his honour give her a chance of parole? That is, a chance of seeing the outside of a prison cell at some stage in her life or not? That was the big question. His Honour gave her that chance, so he gave her some mercy. And I think he probably got it about right. Having said that, if he'd gone the other way and said, you get no chance of parole, no chance of seeing the outside of a prison cell, I'd probably be sitting here saying he got it about right. It was on a knife's edge, but that was the most interesting thing in yesterday's sentence.
So, Justin, just for certainly an uneducated law person like myself, can you explain? So, obviously, found guilty of the murders and the attempted murder, and the life sentences that were given. Why are they consecutive?
Concurrent.
Oh, sorry, not consecutive. In fact, they're concurrent.
Yeah.
Why does that work like that?
If you gave them in such a way that they had to be served concurrently, it would have worked out to, what is it, a bit over 100 years. You could do that in theory. His Honour could have done that, but that would be a crushing sentence. And the law says the aim of a sentence is not to crush a person, and you should try where you can to avoid a crushing sentence. That's actually the words that are used. So So they could have, but you know, a sentence of, you know, 110 years or whatever the maths work out to be, would have put it at the most serious sentence ever meted out in Australia. His Honour could have done it, but I think 33 years is a big whack. I mean, she'll be 83 if she sees the outside of a prison cell, if she makes it to that age. So it's a really, really serious sentence. Now, some people might say, well, she should have got 110 years. And fine, that's their view. But I think 33 years is about as long a sentence as you're ever likely to get for just about anything.
Yeah. It was presided over by Justice Christopher Beale, who spoke for 45 minutes. It was televised. A lot of people were watching it. And Ian Wilkinson is the only surviving victim of the lunch. He was there too, seated just about 10 metres away. I saw when he was outside chatting to the media afterwards, he was so well spoken, but you could see he was shaking. Obviously, this was just such a long, lengthy process, and he lost so many loved ones. How do we know now how he's going? Has he given any indication? I mean, he said justice was served, and he was pretty open with that. Do we know how he was going yesterday?
So there's a bit to unpack in that. The first thing I want to say is I thought it was fantastic from Justice Beale to live stream that sentence.
Yeah.
We all, so many people saw it. Now, as good as our court reporters are, our news court reporters who report day in, day out what happens in our courts, they can't do as good a job as the public seeing it from the horse's mouth, if you like. Mm. So I thought that was fantastic. Now, turning to the only surviving victim, wow, wasn't he classy when he came out onto the steps? He has carried himself with absolute grace and dignity and class the whole time. I mean, His Honour even talked about the offer of forgiveness that he gave Erin Patterson. I mean, I think most people would find it hard to forgive her, but he did. And that was one thing that I thought was interesting in what His Honour said. And I don't think many people picked up on this. And maybe I'm reading into it too much. Sometimes judges speak a little bit in code. They want to say something, but they can't. Yesterday, I heard His Honour say that Ian Wilkinson has given you an offer of forgiveness, and he did that, and the basis upon which he did it was if you confess and admit your guilt. And then His Honour said, you would do well to accept that offer on the basis upon which it was put. Nah. I took His Honour to be saying, you should not appeal this. Take your sentence. You've done the crime. Now do the time. Don't appeal. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting from His Honour when he said, you would do well to accept that offer on the terms in which it was put, i.e. confess. Stop with the lies, Miss Patterson. That's what I took him to be saying.
But Justin, will she appeal?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a dollar one. In fact, you know what? It's an unbackable favourite.
Yeah.
She will appeal. Number one, she's got money. Number two, she's got time, obviously. She's got 33 years.
Yeah.
Number three, she's shown absolutely no remorse at all, no willingness to admit. In fact, not only did she plead not guilty, but she, of course, gave evidence day after day during the trial, and we know now that that was all a lie, or just about all a lie. So she's got all those reasons, and the most important reason, she's got absolutely nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Nothing to lose. There's no chance that her sentence is increased. And frankly, who cares? She would think, well, who cares if it is increased? I'm probably not going to see the outside of a jail anyway. I may as well go for broke and appeal and try and get a retrial. And, you know, you just never know. So she would have some sort of hope that maybe she's still going to get out of this in the end. So, yeah, she will appeal. I mark my words, guys. What is it? 8:51 on the 9th of September. Yeah. I'm calling it. She will appeal.
Justin, yeah. It's a fascinating, obviously quite tragic case. The eyes of Australia and the world are watching. Thank you so much for your insight today. Justin Quill, major law firm Thompson & Gear. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I was up at school pickup the other day, just chatting with a couple who I've been friends with for a while, known them for a long time, and we were just chatting away. And I don't know how we got into the topic of house hunting and looking at places to buy and things like that, because we've been living where we were, have been for 10 years. They've been about the same. But it is
once you get into that sort of 20th, 21st, 22nd investment property realm, it is hard to care.
Plus, it's nice when people come up to you and say, do you reckon you can relinquish one of the ones that are just sitting there with no one in them?
Just negative geared.
Just negative gearing. Do you reckon we could live in that one?
Because we can't credits, afford to
anywhere.
I knew something would come if I introduced this topic.
Self-managed super.
Anyway, they told me something that happened about 6 months ago. They wandered along to an auction, and there was a lot of people there.
And didn't even plan to buy a house. And do you know what? Bought the one next door as well. Yeah. Bought two. Just, I was actually itching my head. Bang.
Yeah, thought, we've got the money.
I might have to pop to the ATM because I've only got enough for one house in my box.
Well, this
Newtown life, guys. Am I right? I'm so sorry.
Oh my god.
Oh dear. It was in Geelong West.
Much worse. Much worse.
Yeah.
Down. It was Packingdon Street.
So awful. God. Atrocious.
Busy street.
God, lock your doors. Get some crim safe.
Yeah.
Busy street. Mm. Lots of cars going past, of course, while the auction's taking place.
Sure.
A decent crowd of people too. And a fair bit of interest in the property. So the auctioneer's up doing his thing.
Yeah.
Doing the whole spiel, you know. Blah, 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 blah,
we do blah, love careful, an auctioneer. Yeah. We love an auctioneer, but it's very scary to do.
Very
on
air.
Yeah. I won't go into the full spiel, but it's all happening.
Yeah.
And you know that moment where sometimes they're just waiting on a bid. It's with you. Would you like to bid? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then it just goes
so awkward.
It goes silent for a moment as everyone's like, Are they going to put one in? Is there going to be a new bid or something like that? And in that moment, silence, a car drove past the house on Packingdon Street.
Yeah.
And a guy hangs out the window, window down, drove past slowly and goes, I had sex in that house.
How's the timing? How's the timing on that?
The poor auctioneer lost where he's up to. Forgot what the price was.
Sold.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.